Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 606 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info, and check out past shows. While you're there, subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can find podcasts. We are there. Make sure you like, subscribe. Also, follow the club, The Alliance Academy, on Clubhouse. Daniela, we are here for another episode of the show. This is 6:06. So what's going on with you?
It's been a pretty nice day. I go back to work tomorrow. Got my COVID test this afternoon. Super chilling, but I'm actually, like, I spent the last 5 days since I had it off from work just, I don't know, messing around with TikTok. And you know what? It's actually kind of a little bit of fun. I won't even lie about that one right now. It's very interesting how this algorithm works. And I'm, like, testing out a couple things. And it's actually, like, kind of working. And it's a little bit scary. But, hey.
Okay, so question there for you. Do you think you're going to be using TikTok a lot as you start introducing, you know, your Twitch stuff again?
Yes, 100%. I think it is. I think they're going to kind of go side by side. I mean, I'm going to focus on other things too, but I think for just building an audience and using a tool and having a little bit further of a reach, definitely TikTok. I was, like, so not on board with it last year because I just thought, I'm like, this is ridiculous. But, like, the algorithm really just shows you the stuff that you gravitate towards. And it's really good at that. Really, really good at it. But you can be caught in a little bit of a rabbit hole. So if you're using it as a tool to broaden your horizons, meet new people, or attract a different audience, I think it's super useful. Like, the stuff that it shows me is either a bunch of stuff on Twitch, a bunch of stuff on cleaning, or a bunch of stuff on crypto.
Okay.
Which is obviously the three things that I'm, like, kind of, like, looking at and, like, kind of interested in. So that's, like, kind of what it shows you. It's based off of what, like, the top three things that you're looking at.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So how often do you find yourself, like, going on the app and checking things out, or, like, what's your frequency right now?
A lot, probably, like, a little bit more than I want to admit to. A little bit more than Twitter, honestly. Like, I'm still going to use Twitter for, like, a lot of things. That is going to always be there. But I find that being on TikTok is definitely feels like a lot less of a dread. It's just a nice palate cleanser from being on my timeline on Twitter. I'm like, oh, so many angry people, angry about everything. Not to say that TikTok doesn't have that, but it's definitely a whole lot less common, at least for what's being shown on my For You page. And it's a bit more like tips and tricks, or things like I didn't know, or things I wish I knew when I started streaming, or useful information on crypto that I'm slowly learning about. I'm like, oh, what is this? Let me go and further research this because I didn't know that. Maybe every once in a while it'll show me some DIY stuff, which it's kind of like, for somebody who does not own a home, there's so many things I want to build and I can't build them. I'm like, oh, you can make your own couch? I want to make my own couch. You make it look so easy. Yeah.
So what's the average time that people are recording? Is it under 30 seconds, or are they going a little bit more than that on average?
Well, you can go up to 3 minutes, but right now the current trend for really boosting instant growth right now is just choosing a short audio clip. So, like, 7 seconds is, like, that magic number, apparently. And you just have, like, this short video with, like, a bunch of text on it, because if it sounds like, if your text at the beginning is really eye-catching and interesting, people will pause on it and read the whole thing, or have that video play through a whole lot, which really boosts your algorithm, because if people are stopping on it, like, oh, this clip or whatever it may be really interesting, and it pushes it out even more to even more people to even catch on. And so I did that, like, I think yesterday or late, like, Saturday night, I think it was. I just, like, put one up really randomly with actual real thoughts of mine, with a 7 second, like, audio clip with it that sounded really nice. And it didn't have any engagement yesterday, but today went from having less than 100 views to over 1300 and like 25 follows, and like all these comments are like really nice, like, oh, welcome back to streaming, oh, I can't wait to catch you live. I posted one about, you know, what is in my streaming setup that got engagement. And then, like, since a lot of it, I went over a lot of audio stuff, mainly in that one, especially affordable audio things that we've talked about before, but being, you know, budget friendly, and people right. really like that. And how, like, my setup, I think, is very different. Like, it's similar to a lot of people's streaming setups, but also very different. Like, everybody's using either some type of Blue mic, or, you know, they're spending $400, $500 for a Shure mic, which those mics all sound great, but here's my $20 Behringer that almost nobody has in their setup.
And it sounds amazing.
Yeah. So I like being able to give those alternatives, and people are kind of liking that because, you know, even though your For You page has a lot of good information, a lot of it can be regurgitated information in a different way. So to have something that's offering that's new, that's different from the others, it's similar in a way that it still has. Like, I still have an audio setup. I still use certain things. It's been useful. It's been nice. So I got to be doing something right, because my son, who has been on TikTok for like 2 years and posting videos, like my last three videos have more views on it than even his best.
Yeah. So what's interesting? Okay. So your current setup right now, you have the Behringer microphone, but you have the Go XLR, right?
Yes, I do.
So with the Go XLR, what else do you have connected to that setup outside of those two things?
Outside of that, my mic stand, for one, is different because everybody's spending like whatever it is, those hundreds of dollars for the clamp on ones, especially like the Elgato ones or the Rode, to hold their mics.
Right.
Mine is a Samson. It's a weighted boom arm. It doesn't clamp on anything, and it was like $23.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely value there, and I do agree with you. A lot of the microphones and stuff that we see is either the Blue microphone or, you know, the Shure microphones, although those are microphones that have been around for a very, very long time. Those companies have done well with those particular products. You do not necessarily need, and I think that's the point that I guess I'm thinking about here, you don't necessarily need all those things to sound amazing, right? Even the pod mic at $100 is a good buy.
Yes.
And you're... Yeah, and even the ATR 2100 is another good one. That's a versatile microphone that has a USB port as well as an XLR port for professional setups, you know, depending on what you want to do with that. So I think overall we have some good setups there, and I think it's a good segue to talk about these things as it relates to, you know, Windows 11, which I started using this week. And I was a little hesitant. You know, I started having some challenges with Windows 10. And install Windows 11. And so far, it's been pretty amazing. I don't know what the, I think people, I noticed that, you know, we don't necessarily like change. And I think that sometimes change, you know, show us, you know, different opportunities and even ways to make things simpler, which is what I'm really checking out right now with Windows 11. And I like it. You know, updates went pretty well. All the drivers, you know, caught up and, you know, found all my things. I'm actually running game boost mode from the PC. I think you can set that in the BIOS, and then it gives you additional hertz processing power, you know, for the machine overall when you're doing gaming stuff, as well as you can also have the gaming mode on, which is a Windows 11 feature that's been built in for Windows 10 for a while. Was it in Windows before that? Was it in the previous Windows before Windows 10? I don't remember.
I believe the it gaming. Was.
Yeah. So that feature is on. And the only issue I had was really with Division 2, where Division 2 was actually crashing because of the anti-cheat, which was running multiple cores versus just one core. So once I switched it to one core, everything was fine with that. So, but my setup is a little bit different. It has changed. I had a mixer, you know, it was a basic mixer that kind of died. It was introducing a lot of static on the noise floor. So I had to get rid of that and picked up a M Audio device, which is a 2XLR device. I think it was about $69. I purchased that. But the microphone that I'm currently using is a Blue microphone, which we just talked about. And it is the Baby Bottle SL, which is about $400, which was sent to me by, you know, Blue and, you know, the whole team at Logitech. So I am grateful that I could leverage, you know, what we've done here, whether it's, you know, content creation on YouTube, Twitch, or whatever, to have the opportunity to get some of these products. And I don't necessarily have to break the bank because I'm doing a transaction by creating content with it. And then in turn, you get the item, quote unquote, for free, right? Whatever that is, right? But there is a transaction there. So Blue Microphone Baby Bottle SL is what I'm currently using as the mic. M Audio is the device that I'm currently using right now for my PC. But right now, I'm using a Saramonic adapter that's plugged into my phone so I can use my XLR microphone with the Saramonic Smart Rig, which has Phantom Power built in. So that's what I'm using right now. And I think that's where we are.
Yeah. Speaking of which, when we get back to going to events, I got to rethink what I'm going to use for our mobile setup here, because I was thinking about this the other day. My Galaxy Ultra 21 here does not have an audio port. So I'm like, oh, man.
Okay. You're going to have to get the splitter thing. You're probably going to have to get the splitter thing with the USB Type-C with the 3.5 millimeter.
Yeah.
Something
new.
So, I mean, it's still doable.
It is. I just got to go and get something else now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I didn't switch out my S9 yet, because it still has the 3.5 built in. And I would have to, I guess, do a little bit more research on which USB Type-C / 3.5 millimeter device that performs well without any hiss, you know, or anything like that. So if we were to plug in, you know, mics and splitters and all that stuff, we wouldn't get any feedback. So that's definitely something that I got to take a look at as well.
Well, I feel like we got a year before that happens.
at least a year before we start looking at, you know, events and things of that nature. E3 is probably dead this year. I don't know what's going on with D23, if anything's happening there. Comic-Con, you know, was that San Diego typically? Because you've gone a couple of times, right?
I have.
Don't know what's going on with that, you know. So, and did we hear any news for E3? We're like almost at February at this point.
I don't think I've heard anything. It was canceled.
Right. So that whole world right now is pretty much upside down. So that's the initial stuff. I did see a couple of things in the news. Let me just say, any thoughts before we go? We move on?
Yep. So definitely double checked myself here. January 6th, they announced that E3 2022 will not be held in person.
So that whole thing, that whole world is, you know, upside down right now. So, but I'm still excited for, you know, the fact that there's still news coming out. You know, companies are forming Voltrons. You know, Microsoft did the recent purchase of Activision for $68.7. That was news, and we're still, you know, excited about all the things coming out of that. First bit of news, I did see a fully functioning Zelda 64 PC port, which is 90% complete. And we're going to have the links for everything that we mentioned on the website, andrew-lyons.com. It's a newsletter / medium type website, Substack. So you can definitely check out all the news after we post that stuff there. Zelda 64 PC port. Are you still interested in ports of the past? Daniela, thoughts on that?
Not for me so much personally, not anymore. Just because I know for me, I'm just not going to be able to get to it. Do I think it's really cool and I support it? Yeah, 100%, because there's an audience for it. And, you know, with Zelda 64 over here, it's a great title. It is a great title. And if you haven't played it yet, that must mean you were born in the 2000s or something. I don't know. And you're just, I don't know what rock you've been living under. But I think it's great still. I think there's still an audience and people still love it. And even if you have played it, you're just gonna play it again on your PC.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think these ports still have merit, and I love the fact that we're still getting them. But the issues and challenges that we usually face when these ports are being created is once the company finds out that they are being created, we may not ever see those ports in either come to fruition, or if you were one of the first individuals to get a hold of the actual files to play, you may be able to hold on to that, you know, as, you know, a prize. But in terms of like streaming it and doing anything like that, you can get in trouble depending on how that's set up with the company, right? Especially Nintendo, as we've seen in the past, is, can we say notorious for, you know, clamping down on their stuff, on their IPs?
No, definitely. They are.
Yeah. So you have those things. So I am excited that we're able to see different projects come up for nostalgic games that we've enjoyed. But there is the danger of, hey, you know, you put it up for like a week and then it may disappear because of the lawyers from those companies. So there's that aspect of it. Any additional thoughts on that?
No, I'm good.
Cool. So Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer, this was on The Verge. CEO Phil Spencer wants to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Call of Duty might not become an Xbox exclusive. Okay. So there was a tweet that went out. The tweet went out on January 20th, 2022. And this is Phil Spencer, and it says, had good calls this week with leaders at Sony. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry and we value our relationship. Danielle, what do you think about that part of it? Because I know you're not necessarily interested in Call of Duty, but what do you think about kind of leaving some things the way they are right now until further notice? Thoughts on that?
See, and that's what I like to see. And that's what was one of my concerns that we had in our last episode there is just like, okay, are they just going to be hoarding all of their things? Like, we got it all, we don't get it. And this is what I love to see. I mean, yeah, 5 years, 6 years from now, that could change. But that's not the case at the moment. You can only judge about what's happening in the present. And I love to see this. I absolutely do. So that's great news. I think that's huge. And, you know, I think it's great that they want to keep that competition alive. They, you know, and Sony and Microsoft, they go hand in hand on just building each other up, being that competitive brand. And, you know, it keeps them on top of their toes. So I love this.
Yeah, I do too. And it also goes on to saying in this particular article, that statement leaves some wiggle room that Call of Duty could still become an Xbox exclusive franchise. Microsoft has shown a willingness to turn its acquisitions into exclusives, right? But my thing is, it's like, I like the fact that we have so many options. And as you know, as we've seen many years being around, you know, this space and this industry, there's always this back and forth of what company is doing it better, right?
Yeah.
And I think that what we fail to understand at times, not all of us, but some of us, is that these companies are in business to make money, right? And whatever that's going to look like for them in the future or even in the near future, they're going to try to make the best decisions possible for that return, right? And I think that for the community where we are, whether it's the Xbox versus, you know, PC Master Race or even versus the PlayStation, we get the individuals who are fighting amongst themselves to claim this jersey as, you know, the best one out there that provides the most value. And it's getting to a point where, and you've seen that even with the recent console, you know, launches and the hardware and how they are now, they're almost super PCs now at this point, almost, right?
It's
only a couple of more things. Yes, there's still closed architecture, but it's only a couple of more things that you can do. And at some point you're going to be like, you know what? I don't care what I'm playing on. And we should be here already. You know, I don't care what I'm playing on as long as I'm playing it at the graphical fidelity that I would like to play it on. At this point, it's almost pretty much the same with some exceptions, of course, right? Because of what PC can do. But I think we're there, but there's still pockets that are still fighting amongst themselves about, you know, the championship jersey thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that consoles have the potential to get there, but PC is going to always have that bigger edge, unless we're going to get to the point where our consoles are going to be so easily swappable with the latest and greatest. And I can't see that. I just don't. It's always just going to be consoles and consoles, you know? But as terms of what's available on each one, that's where the close call is going to really be, is just about which games are going to, which consoles are going to have the better games. And how long is it going to take for those console exclusive games, whether it be Xbox? Well, no, I think on Xbox games, they're going to always be available on PC. But how quickly Sony will adapt to releasing their exclusives to PC, that's going to be a huge turning point. And how much that PlayStation can, like, you know, close this gap to what Xbox can offer.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to add also is, do we believe that Sony is even remotely interested in buying, you know, major IPs at this point? Because I know Square Enix, you know, was brought into the conversation, you know, from the community side of things, right? And what Sony would consider doing, because based on the platform itself, it will most likely outsell Xbox's 2-to-1. It usually does, and sometimes even closer 3-to-1, right, by way of hardware sales. But Microsoft is not even really focusing on that. They just mentioned recently they have 25 million or billion million, right, subscribers, you know, for the Game Pass. So like at this stage, it's going to be really interesting to see how they're going to line up their next moves. Do you think it's big purchases, or like what's some thoughts on that based on the community side of things right now?
On Sony, it's 100%. They are behind. Yeah, they are selling more physical properties. Yes, but as far as getting the audience, I think that's 100% Xbox. And I think that's why, like, Xbox isn't, or Microsoft isn't, so concerned about how well their consoles are doing, simply because of the Game Pass. You're getting this huge audience, the consumers, to subscribe and to play your games or to buy your games or be a part of this, and investing into that ecosystem that is really the console, I guess, sales a really good, accurate determination about who's succeeding. If PlayStation wants to do better, what PlayStation wants to do better, yeah, okay, so they're selling more consoles, but how many people are subscribing to them? How many people are interested in PlayStation Plus? What are they doing for people on that end? And for me, as much as I love my PlayStation and I love what they have for me, it is severely lacking. So
yeah,
they have to draw something. And I think it's definitely going to, like, balance on, you know, them improving their service. And yeah, I think there is a strong possibility that they are going to start looking to or considering purchasing and acquiring studios. Which studios? I don't know. Right now, like, there's a few that could help them. Sega. They purchase and they acquire Sega. That would be a great one. Square Enix. That would be a great one. I mean, there are options and opportunities for them. But if they want to dive into that to, you know, keep that edge or to keep up with Microsoft, they've got to make some big moves.
Absolutely agree with that. Yeah, so that's what we have there. So next thing I want to touch on, a couple of quick hits. Ghostwire Tokyo could release in March, and Need for Speed later this year. And any thoughts on those two potential releases?
I'm definitely looking for Ghostwire Tokyo. Granted, it's in first person. But yeah, I'm really hopeful for seeing that one out. I think it was, like, rumored for March. Please make it happen.
Yeah. That one looks really, it definitely gives me the vibe of, like, a dramatic thriller, maybe horror. I don't know. Would you consider part horror in there, or what would the classification be for that particular title?
I want to say horror, but I feel like it's going to be definitely more of a thriller.
Okay.
Either way, I'm excited for both of those, whatever way it falls. Because the announcement of it was really big, and they've been really good about being pretty quiet, leaving little teasers just enough to, you know, satisfy their audience and people who are interested. But yeah, I want this in my hands already.
Absolutely. Yeah, it looks really good. Love what we've seen on it thus far. Need for Speed, I haven't played Need for Speed in maybe 2+ years at this point. I definitely want to jump back in to see what's happening with Need for Speed. There are quite a few titles that are Need for Speed on Xbox Game Pass, so I have the opportunity to do that. I've been checking out Forza Horizon. That's really fun. Been having a lot of fun with that. So that's what I have there. Next thing I have here, Steam Deck can now support games with easy anti-cheat. Any thoughts on that?
No, I kind of assumed that it would be coming with that anyways. I mean, I would really hope that it had something in there. Do you know, as much as I love my PC too, you know how many hackers there are? Come on. It's got to be
absolutely
in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so my issue with Division 2 was interesting because I was like, okay, now that I had the new OS, you know, what was I going to do? And, you know, that's one of my favorite games, you know, as you know, Division 2, Destiny 2, the twos have done well. You know, and that was definitely something I had to make adjustments to with the core to get it working properly. So that's what we have there. Splitgate, which is kind of like a Halo / Portal title.
Yep.
Okay, so they add a map maker, new modes, and battle pass, which is, it says next week here. So I think we're in this week right now that is coming out.
Yeah.
So we can definitely double check that. Any thoughts on that title? I know you're kind of like taking a break on shooters, but what have you seen with Splitgate that you've appreciated?
That it probably really needs this because not a whole lot of people talk about Splitgate. So the audience isn't as big. It's not as pumping. I don't see it talked about a lot, but people who have played it, they really like it, but something's lacking to keep them repetitively coming back. So, I mean, this is supposed to be like a beta season one, so it's not like a full, it's not like this game is officially out. But right. People are actively playing it, so it's good to see. You know, it's just to throw in some new tastes and shooters people could enjoy. I know that there's a lot of tactical things that go into this game specifically because how unique it is. So, and I think it's cool that there's the map editor that's going to be added in or is added in. You know, you can create your own maps, you can share those maps, and then other people get to experience it. And I think that definitely throws in something that's very unique to Splitgate that I feel like people should definitely give it a try more often. It's just trying to pull them away from those like AAA titles or those shooters that definitely like cemented into people's like households now.
Yeah, Splitgate is definitely a sleeper for sure. I believe it's Steam, right? And I'm not sure if it's anywhere else right now, but it's definitely Steam. So definitely check out Splitgate. It's kind of like a Halo-esque shooter with the portals that you can go through to get to the other side of the map, et cetera, et cetera. So
the open beta, open beta has been open since last August on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Okay, that's appreciate that. A couple of things, quick hits. Cuphead, Netflix cartoon. Cuphead was a, I would say Contra-esque type game, right? With the animation of old school cartoons. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's how I would describe the Cuphead. So that's actually coming to Netflix. Thoughts on that?
I think that's adorable. Cuphead is so, it's definitely a place that holds into people's hearts right there just because of its very unique hand-painted style look. And the bosses they're frustrating. So it is a run and gun Contra type of game, but their bosses are so difficult, but it's fun. It's great. So I'm down for an animated series. I don't know what they're going to show us, but hey, I'm not going to knock on it.
Absolutely. So while we're still talking about trailers, I'll move up this Uncharted Legacy. I'm really excited for what they're doing with Uncharted, not just on the compilation or package that they're going to deliver for the PC folks, right? Since Uncharted has never been on PC, you know, up until, you know, as we're getting prepared for it. And there's also the movie stuff, which I'm trying to stay away from because I want to watch the entire movie without watching scenes before the movie actually releases. So Uncharted, any thoughts on that? How are you feeling right now?
That I just want the movie.
Okay.
I think it's cool. I'm still not probably going to jump over to try it out with this whole Legacy of Thieves there. I want the movie. That's where I'm at.
Okay, I dig that. I'm definitely excited for that. So we got a couple of more things, and it will open up the floor. Google is building an AR headset. So we know that the main one right now is Oculus, right? Mm-hmm. That's the big one. Oculus version 2. Yes?
Quest 2. But it's not Quest really... 2? Yeah, the Quest 2 is more VR than AR.
Okay, how are we feeling about Google jumping in?
I like it. I dig it. I think it's definitely in the future there. And that, you know, as I mentioned, Google's jumping into the thing. And, you know, Microsoft is like one of the biggest things, but they acquired Activision to have those utilities to start getting into it themselves. So, I mean... I am hopeful about this type of technology, but we saw how well Google Glass did.
Right.
Which is a very cool like little toy to have. But there at that time when they originally released the Google Glass, there was not a whole lot of use for it or purpose. And now that it's been like several years, I don't know how many years it's been now, there's a whole lot more versatility for and need for it. So I think it'll do better. You know, coming up with these AR glasses and seeing what happens there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is Project Iris that it hopes to ship in 2024. It says Google's headset is still early in development without a clearly defined go-to-market strategy, which indicates that the 2024 target year may be more aspirational than set in stone. That's what it says in this article. This was published by The Verge. Okay, so that's what we have there. And the last thing, well, one of the two last things that we have, and then we'll open up the floor. Twitter brings NFTs to the timeline as hexagon-shaped profile pictures. So I think the way it's doing that is by connecting to your wallet to verify that you do own that particular NFT, and it changes the image from a standard way to the hexagonal shaped profile picture. And I think that's coming soon to the individuals who are active, or even, you know, maybe have certain metrics that they need to qualify for, you know, high influencers or what have you. They'll start seeing those things with their Twitter profile. Any thoughts on that? I know you're still getting into your crypto bag, so let's just open that up a little bit.
I guess that's cool. I mean, granted, you can only use your NFT as your profile picture if you are subscribed to Twitter Blue. I would really love to see who is actually subscribing for this $3 a month for Twitter Blue. I think I saw one person try it out for like 2 months and they're like, yeah, it wasn't worth it for me. Like, it does have a couple things that you can do that majority can't, but it wasn't like a useful, like, as regularly used as they thought they would to justify $3. So to be able to use your NFT, like, what is that really doing for you? Like, yeah, this is mine. I got this.
Yeah. I haven't really heard like a lot of people speaking about this, like, you know, a lot. So it says if you pay for a $2.99 Twitter Blue subscription and are using an iOS device, so iOS first, I guess. And then it goes on to say, at launch, Twitter is supporting several crypto wallets that users can connect to their profiles and verify that their tokens are of the non-fungible variety. Argent, Coinbase Wallet, Ledger Live, MetaMask. Okay, MetaMask is definitely a popular one there. Trust Wallet and Rainbow. I haven't really heard of Rainbow. So it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how people adapt to this. And I mean, I see the adoption for NFTs, and of course, crypto is picking up, you know, year after year, or even quarter after quarter. It's going to be interesting to see how they navigate that.
I feel like it's a cash grab from Twitter, 100%. And two, the people who are going to be doing this is just to brag. Like, I got this NFT. Look at it. Look at me. I got this. I'm verified.
Right.
I own it. It's on my blockchain. Cool, dude. That's why I thought on it right there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like how people navigate that. I mean, I love what I'm seeing from certain groups that are releasing projects by way of NFTs. I do not currently own an NFT, but I don't know, that could change in the near future. Who knows? But I think it's really good to see that a lot of companies are making you know, making adjustments to have things on their platform that shows you that this crypto world is not just something that's just going to, you know, show up today and then be gone tomorrow, right? There's a lot involved with it, and NFTs are just one component of that.
Yeah, okay. Just, I don't see the purpose.
Yeah. So yeah, show off your stuff. You know, you got a new jacket, a new Bored Ape, or you got a new Crypto Chicks, or there's a whole bunch of those things out there. But people are going to start showing off their stuff for sure. So there's that. Last but not least, Shenmue anime. Thoughts on that?
I love it. I love that trailer. Anything for anime for me. I'm sorry. Well, okay, I'm not sorry. I enjoy it.
Yeah, Shenmue looks pretty good.
Give me a purpose use my Crunchyroll. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I want to say. More reasons that I feel like my Crunchyroll subscription is fully justified every month. I'm down for Shenmue.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for Shenmue because I've always appreciated the games. So the fact that they're doing an anime, I have to figure out how I'm going to watch it because I don't have Crunchyroll right now. So, you know, there's that. So I have to figure out what that's going to look like. But I do want to check this out when it releases. So that's going to be fun. And I think that's all we have for the topics this week. Any final thoughts? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I'm going to be back to streaming next week, but I got a couple more things to do. Feeling good about it. I'm stoked for next month. I mean, there's a lot of great games coming out next month, and I'm going to try really hard not to dive into my wallet for this. Be good. That's like one of my goals for this year, to not buy games needlessly because I have such a huge backlog. But man, February's got some heavy hitters, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see February. You have the Witch Queen. What are the other things that we said in February was coming out?
Gran Turismo, that's coming out. You got Horizons coming out. You got Elden Ring coming out. Oh, man.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes. Great. It's pretty exciting. So first quarter is looking really good for gaming stuff. I'm excited. Still want to see if there's any new games that's going to be introduced that I'm going to be excited about. I definitely want to say thank you for Logitech and Blue for sending me this microphone here, the Baby Bottle SL, and this M-Track Duo. I'm going to give some additional thoughts on that because I purchased that. I'm going to mess with it a little bit more and maybe share some more thoughts on that the next couple of shows as you record. Still loving the beginning journey of Windows 11, so that's for sure. I guess those are my final thoughts there right now. So I definitely want to say, guys, if you're listening to this either on a podcast or you're listening to this on the Clubhouse platform, definitely join the club, the Alliance Academy on Clubhouse. Once again, that's the Alliance Academy on Clubhouse. Definitely check that out. And definitely follow Daniela. Daniela, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Miss DJM. And where can they find you, Andrew?
Yep, you can find me at URIYYA on Twitter and Instagram. And guys, thanks for listening to episode 606. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.